in the Word of God. It's a privilege for me to do that. I love preaching God's Word. I love preaching His Word because His Word really is so rich and it's so deep, and I don't even know if I've begun to scratch the surface of it. But I want to help you this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14. And I want to point out in this passage of Scripture, this passage of Scripture, Paul the Apostle, he is he's writing out this prayer, a prayer that he prayed. He was praying for the people that he was writing to. And I'm going to point out in this prayer some wins I'm going to highlight those wins that he brings up, because I think that there's a lot of wins in the body of Christ that we don't always recognize. And what I'm getting at is it's really easy. Many of us like sports. Maybe you grew up playing sports. And what you have is a scoreboard on the court or on the field, and at the end of the game, the winner is the one who has the more points, right? Well, here in church life and the things that we do, we don't exactly have a scoreboard. And it's hard to tell where some of the wins are. But there's many, many wins. And I'm going to hit on a few of them this morning. I'm going to hit on several of them. It won't be all of them because there is a ton of wins. And because not everything is so easy to see or tally, right? It's not as easy as that, but I want to point some of those things out. So, if you have your Bibles, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul writes, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father." Verse 15, "the creator of everything in heaven and on earth." That is wonderful to acknowledge, that God is the creator of everything, that God is the one that we answer to, and the one that gives us, as we sang about just a few minutes ago, God is the one who provides everything that you have. If you don't believe that, what you want to do is give praise to the Lord and acknowledge Him for that. Otherwise, those blessings might end up stopping. Okay, because I think it's important for us to turn back and give God praise. But this is a win when we understand that God is the creator of everything, that everything comes from His hand. That's it. That's a win right there for us to recognize that. Look at the next verse, verse 16. He says, "I pray." I'm going to stop right there. I think it's important. It's a win when God's people choose to pray. Well, I don't know what prayer is. What is prayer, Pastor? Well, prayer is simply talking to God, and I think it's necessary. We all have requests that from time to time, or maybe you're taking somebody else's request to the Lord. I think that's part of what prayer is. But I also think that prayer is just being with Him. It's spending time with God and getting to know who He is, and just allowing yourself to be in His presence, allowing yourself to soak in who He is, if that makes any sense. Allow yourself to be close to the Lord. And I think that's the main part of prayer. But then there's obviously many, many times in life where so-and-so says, "Hey, can you pray for me? I've got this going on." And I don't always do it, but I've learned to, or am learning at least, to stop right then and pray if I can. Otherwise, we leak and we forget things, right? And so what happens is somebody will say, "Hey, can you pray for me?" And I'm guilty of this as well. "Hey, can you pray with me?" And then, yeah, we'll walk off and I won't ever remember it again. Whoops, true confessions. But don't judge me, because you've probably done it too, unless it's possible I'm the only one. So I'm learning to try to just pray right then, and that way I'm not guilty of forgetting it. As I pray, that's a win when God's people learn to pray and go to God in prayer. And why? Well, we're going to look at these next few verses. He says, "I pray that from God's glorious Look at this, his unlimited resources. You ever have a need? We serve the one who can meet every need. Every single need. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he, that's God, will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So, Paul is saying, hey guys, I pray that God will empower you with his Holy Spirit, that you will have an inner strength and you can keep going on. You can keep taking one more step forward. I think that is a win. That's what we want to do. I'm not looking at people to be perfect. I want people to be moving in God's direction. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm interested in, because not any one of us are perfect. Jesus is the one who makes us perfect, but we in ourselves are not. But we can learn from him, and we want to move on in him. We want to grow in him, and we want to have that strength that God gives. Okay? That's a win when people are empowered with inner strength by the Holy Spirit. That is a win. We want to see that happening. The problem is, it's hard to see that one on the scoreboard, isn't it? When people are empowered, well, how do you get empowered by the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that's when you go to God and you gain victory and through prayer. That's when you go to the Lord and you say, okay, God, I got this going on, and I need you to help me to get through it. And God will many times supernaturally move on your behalf. You don't believe that? He has unlimited power and resources. Can I remind you? He's the God who never fails. He's the creator of all things. Oh, wait, Pastor, God did fail me one time. No, you think he failed you one time. My God does not fail. He doesn't fail. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't do things where he has to go and say, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's our job. Does that make sense this morning? God never fails. We might have thought that he should have done this or that, but we're not God, and we don't get that choice. We don't get to make those decisions. Okay, verse 17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. That's another win. Letting Jesus be the ruler of your heart, inviting him into live in your heart, and that's beginning a relationship with him. And then look at that word trust. That word trust, that's not always easy, is it? No, it's not always easy. But when we step into a relationship with Jesus, we place trust in him for that salvation. The word that we use, a big word, salvation. We trust him for that. But then what he's doing the rest of our lives is trying to help us to build trust in him in every area. And so it's all steps of trust. This one and then the next one and then the next one. And so it's a growth pattern. That's a win. That's a win when someone at any point moves from one step to another step. Right? They're trusting God a little bit more with a little bit more of their life. And I know that, yeah, the right answer is that we should trust him with everything, and that is absolutely the truth. But let's face it, how many of us are really there? And so what I'm getting at is it's step by step. We trust God with this area, and then what happens is God will begin to move in our hearts, and then he'll begin to deal with another area of our life, and then we'll say, okay, fine, I trust you with it. Here you go, you can have it. I'll do it your way. Because my way is not very good. So it's trust. And each one of those steps of trust where we yield to the Lord again and again, each one of those is a win for each individual, right? And so I want to just kind of focus on wins instead of losses, and focus on positives instead of negatives. Not to bury my head in the sand, but you know what happens, especially in these days, is we get focused on all the negatives, and then there's nothing good in the world. Right? There's plenty of negatives. What positive? What's positive in your life? What's God doing? And I believe that God's doing something. I believe that God's working in your heart and has been. That excites me. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots, look at this, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Your roots will grow down. We want growth. That is the goal. Obviously, we want people to step into a relationship with Jesus. That's probably the ultimate win. And I guess in reality, the ultimate win would be when we get to heaven. But in the meantime, that's the step that we've got to take. And it's a step that many in the room have taken. I took my step like 24 years ago. And I haven't looked back. It's been a great ride. Not that everything's been easy. But God's been there with me through all of it. And it's been wonderful. And that's the key, is just being close to him. Because life happens, right? But with Jesus, he helps take care of some of those things. And he gives us a right heart. And that part is wonderful. And so, we want to grow. Growth is one of our core values over here on this wall. That's one of our four core values. We want to continue to grow in our spiritual walk with the Lord. We want to grow in him and in that trust. Okay? We're moving on to verse 18. And may you have the power to understand. Understand what? Well, he says, may you have the power to understand as all God's people should. May you understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is for you. Isn't that incredible? That's an encouraging verse because, you know, I've used a measuring tape a whole lot in my life. And I kind of, sometimes I'm like, wait, where's my measuring tape? And I'm like that with my knife too, so please don't judge me. It's a tool, okay? It's a tool. But the measuring tape, I mean, if I asked you to take the other end of my measuring tape and we both stretch out to the maximum, are we even getting close to God's love? Absolutely not. Somebody pinned it like this, and I'm taking a stab at this just off the top of my head. If God's love were like an ocean, right? I mean, his love is that enormous. That grand. Let that soak in just a little bit. God's love for you is like an ocean. Oceans are big. Anybody know how much water's in an ocean? Yeah, me neither. A whole bunch. That's how much he loves you. Don't think of everybody else right now. Think about yourself. That's how much God loves you. And he went to great lengths to prove it. We sang about it a while ago, the old rugged cross. That's just a piece of wood. And that wasn't even the one that Jesus died on. That's just wood. It's going to rot. It's going to burn. It's going to decay, whatever. We don't worship that cross. We worship the one who was on the cross. Okay? But the cross is beneficial because it reminds us of what Jesus did for us. It reminds us of that enormous love that God poured out for us and proved. Romans says that God demonstrated his love in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That's great. While we were still sinners. It wasn't that we had done anything great or wonderful that God was like, oh man, that one right there, I'm going to... No, we were stooped in sin. Sin is anything Jesus wouldn't do. Anything that's opposed to the Word of God, that's sin. And the problem with sin is it separates us from God. The design is for us to be close to God. Sin gets in the way and it separates us from God. God fixed it. He sent his son Jesus to repair that relationship. And that's exactly what he did. He became a bridge. He became a bridge from God to man. It's beautiful. But there's no way we could measure God's love. It's incredible. God's love for you. That's a win when somebody begins to realize God's love for them, because not until we realize God's love for us can we really love other people. So it's a win when we realize and understand that God loves me. God loves you. That's a win. And I hope to demonstrate that to our folks, to our community. I want to demonstrate that to anybody and everybody, because it's extremely powerful. God's love can move mountains. And in verse 19, I like the way he starts out right here. This third word, I like this. May you experience the love of Christ. Have you ever experienced the love of Jesus Christ? Has it made a difference in your life? It ought to. If not, then you haven't really met Jesus yet. Because his love will turn you around. He's that powerful. And his love can transform us. His love can change us from the inside out. Amen? His love is extraordinary. May you experience the love of Christ. But he's got this little caveat in there. Though it is too great to understand fully. Kind of like you can't measure it with the measuring tape. He says, then you will be made complete. And really, before I go back to that part of the verse, really, anytime we help somebody to experience the love of Christ, then that's a win. That's a win. That's a victory. Anytime that you can help somebody else, or anytime that you experience God's love, that's a win. Anytime you help somebody else to experience God's love, that's another win. Right? And so there's wins all over the place. If we'll just be heading in his direction, he'll lead us and he'll guide us. I've said this before to the church. See, we've been here about 5.5 years. I always feel like the Lord is like I'm the little kid, you know, when you take your little kids to a crowded area, a crowded place, you kind of put your hand on their back. Maybe it's the back of their between their shoulders or maybe even the back of their head, and you just kind of guide them this way or that way. That's what I feel like God does with me. And I'm so thankful. It's wonderful, and that's what God will do. He'll just lead us and guide us if we're trying to serve Him, if we're trying to bring honor to Him, if we want to know Him, then He's going to help us. He's going to lead us and guide us. Don't you think? Don't you think that's what He wants anyway? But we worry about His will, don't we? Oh God, is this Your will? I don't know. Maybe that's another step of faith, a trust that we said, God, I know that You're going to lead me. I'm Yours, You're mine. I'm going to trust You to help me. That's good there. So we want to grow, and those are wins. He says, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Doesn't that sound nice? Being complete in your Savior, and having fullness of life. Those are wins. Let's look at verse 20. Now, all glory to God. There's another win. Anytime we bring glory to God, anytime we decide to do something in order to bring glory to God, let me kind of flip that. Anytime we don't do something so that it doesn't damage our relationship with God or doesn't damage God's reputation, those are things that are done for His glory. That's a win. That's a win. But nobody saw it, Pastor. It's still a win. It's still a win because you're making right decisions, aren't you? And it's moving in His direction. That's a win. Those are wins, big and little. There's big wins, there's little wins, and they're all wins. Praise God. Let's see. Now all glory to God who is able. Check this out. Now all glory to God who is able through His mighty power at work within us. Where is His work? Within us. Now, I'm gonna take that part out when I read it this time, okay? Because it helps us to catch the rest of the verse. Now, all glory to God who is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I don't know if you caught it. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to help you understand it. Now, all glory to God who is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or imagine. God is able to do way, 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 way more than you think He could do or even imagine that He could do. And I'm excited because I think days are coming when God's going to say and direct us to pray real crazy prayers, and then He's going to do it. Isn't that exciting? What do I mean? I don't know. Because I can't think it all up. But what I'm saying is God is powerful enough. God is strong enough. We already mentioned in a few verses before that God has unlimited resources, doesn't He? And we worry about finances. And we worry about all these details. God owns it all, ladies and gentlemen. He's not broke. Who was with me the other day? It might have been yesterday. We were working on something back here. It was Mike. Mike's here. Mike was helping me with some steps, and I'd built them wrong. Easy now. I'd built them wrong, so I had to cut them down. And so I'm marking things, and it was kind of giving me a fit. And I looked at Mike, and I said, "Don't worry, Mike, I'm going to win. Jesus makes me a winner. If we have the right attitude and the right mindset, we can win. Because we serve a God who is all-powerful, and on top of that, is He has unlimited resources. He has servants all over the place. He's always going to have a remnant. You know that, right? He's always going to have a group of people who are following Him and serving Him. And so whatever you need, God can supply through those servants. You know what? God can supply it through most wicked person. And there's probably some testimonies of that in the room. What I'm getting at is nothing can limit God except your doubt. Or my doubt. And sometimes I have doubts. But that's why the Word is so good and so rich, because it says, hey, knucklehead, don't doubt. I have unlimited resources. I'm all powerful. I can do more than you think I could ever do. I can do way more than that. So don't come to me and say, oh, Pastor, whoa. I'm going to say, hey, God is all powerful. He's got it all under control. Just trust Him. And that's a win, right? I'm not fussing at anybody coming with one of those. I'm just simply saying, we gotta remember who we serve, don't we? We got to remember that we serve a mighty God. He's not weak. He's not deaf. He's not dumb. He's alive and He's active. He's present in our lives. Hallelujah. That's what I am means, by the way. He's present and active in our lives and wants to have a part in everyday stuff, if we let Him. God can accomplish infinitely more. How much is infinite? Infinitely. Yeah, it just keeps on going. It's what? Huh? His power keeps on going? Yep. We've just barely scratched the surface of it. That's exciting. Verse 21, glory to Him in the church. That's what it's supposed to be. The church is supposed to glorify His name. The church is supposed to spread His glory and spread His message all around. That is our privilege. That is our responsibility and duty. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Every generation. That's exciting too. And it's so wonderful that that Christianity is approximately 2,000 years old and it's never lost its power. Jesus' name, His blood, has never lost its power. And the church still exists. Even after individuals or societies have tried to stomp it out, the church still exists. And I believe the church still thrives. Well, Pastor, how come people leave the church? Not just this church, but other churches. I don't know, but I'm not going to worry about it too much. I'm moving forward. So look at it like this. I want to mention a couple other wins. We have several visitors in the room this morning. We're so glad that you're here. Yeah, see? And so our church is, this is going to be a win when our church makes you visitors feel welcome. And that's certainly what we hope to do. And it's a blessing, but I consider that a win when people feel like, hey, they made me feel at home here. I consider that a win. That's a big deal to me. Even our greeters. The greeters saying hi, holding the door open for somebody, pointing them in the right direction. We have several visitors. Don't know whether you go to church somewhere else or not, or had been. But here's what I do know. It's been a while for me. But sometimes it's difficult to walk through the doors of a new place because you don't know anybody in there. And even the simple fact that you may not know where the bathroom is sometimes is kind of daunting in our brains. And so we want our greeters to be helpful out there and say, oh, yeah, Sunday school class for your kids is over here. And here's the, our restrooms aren't real tough to find, but it's the point. So stick with me. Those of you here are chuckling. Upstairs and downstairs, yeah. And there's, never mind, I'm not going to go there. Sorry, there was a squirrel. But we want to focus on some of the wins. And I believe it's a win all the time if your desire is to please and honor the Lord and bring glory to Him. Then I think whatever you do is a win. Sometimes, though, we don't feel like winners, do we? But this morning I wanted to point out that there's wins all over the place. Keep your eyes on the prize. He's the prize. Do you know heaven? We can only get to heaven because of a relationship with Jesus. But heaven is not heaven because of streets of gold. The streets of gold are going to be there, evidently. But who cares? You're going to walk on it. What makes heaven heaven is the presence of God. That's right, because Jesus is there. So what are you hungry for? Material things or the presence of God? Praise the Lord. I'm going to invite our deacons, Johnny, and maybe some ushers to help me with communion. Yeah, my wife and maybe some of the worship teams coming to play. Let's see here. Drake, would you give us a hand? Mike, can you give us a hand? One, two, three. Jason's already up. He's sore, I can tell. I do have a wonderful dad, you're right. Hey, we're going to... I'm not sure what that was about. Probably because I'm right underneath these speakers.
I think it's my mic.
It's your mic.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need to be a member of our church to participate in communion with us. The only prerequisite for participating is that you have a relationship with Jesus, is that you're born again. That's all. That's the only prerequisite. And if you want to partake, you're welcome to, if you have a relationship with the Lord. We're going to take this time as they're passing these out. We're going to take this time to examine our hearts. The Scripture tells us to do that, that we should examine our hearts and make sure that we're right with God and that there's nothing in the way. no sin that we should we need to get taken care of. And if there is, if the Lord speaks to your heart, you just say, Lord, thank you for your conviction. I give that up. Help me to follow you.